good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble. I am the show, as you know, A Progressive Life. And I think we have Dr. Feynman. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Yes, I'm here, and I want to comment about John Addis.
All right, let's go for it. I knew we were going to get something like that.
I only tuned in about 10 minutes to go, and I heard that gentleman. Who was that gentleman that was talking about Addis and his wife? I didn't hear who it was.
He's one of my normal guests, and his name is Fred Malone, and he's with the Marion Historical Society.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to say, as far as John Addis, John Addis is rated lower because he was defeated for re-election, and that's the way it is when you don't get a second term, unless you die like Kennedy, you do not get a high rating.
Oh, okay.
That's one thing. It's just unfortunate. Plus, he did sign into law an abuse of the Bill of Rights, the Alien and Sedition Acts, which were then, overcome under Jefferson, who had them repealed, and that is not a good thing to look at in history when you violate people's civil liberties. That's why Woodrow Wilson has been slipping very rapidly.
Is that right?
Also because of that. Okay. Donald Trump also will because of that.
Okay, all right.
So I think those are a couple of points. I have to say it is true that he did recommend Washington be the commander-in-chief, not so much Addis, and that he did recommend, that Jefferson be the prime author of the Declaration. That is true, and certainly he had a good love life, and he had a very good marriage, and he produced a son, that became outstanding, John Quincy Addis and all that. So it's not saying Addis is bad, but actually, if you look at the C-SPAN poll of historians, he is rated 15th. In 2021, so he's the top third.
Hmm.
However, Washington is rated second, and Jefferson is rated seventh, and Monroe is rated 12th.
Who was rated first?
Lincoln.
Yeah, okay.
Lincoln usually is, yeah, and FDR's third. So I'm just pointing out that it's not saying Addis doesn't have credentials, he's in the top third, but to put him above Washington or Jefferson on the whole life story and the fact that he only had one term and all the other founding fathers had two terms in office, right, or good or bad, that's a reality, and that hurts. That's why H.W. Bush will never look as good to people as Clinton and Reagan, because he's in between them and he gets defeated.
Okay.
And Jimmy Carter also gets defeated. That hurts him.
Yeah. I'm sure it
And obviously
does.
Trump, many other reasons, but Trump's not going to look good because he did not get reelected and he refused to accept the defeat. So it's just unfortunate, but it's the way it is.
Now, Scott, I don't know, were you listening when we were talking about the most inspirational presidents?
Yes.
Now, Scott said that Trump was the inspirational president, and I have to agree with him. I don't necessarily mean inspirational in a good way, but then I pointed out to him Hitler was inspirational,
yes,
too.
Yes. I consider inspiration, it depends how you define inspiration, but I do agree that Kennedy was inspirational, Obama was inspirational, Reagan was inspirational, FDR was, and Clinton was. Trump, I don't see the word, I don't think I really use the word inspirational, but he certainly got people's ire up and got them to get involved in illegal and unethical activities and violent activities, and that is not going to look good in history.
Yeah, it will not. Well,
Reagan. Yeah, Reagan had a way about him. He's also a very good actor.
Yeah.
And he came across well. I used to joke with my classes that when he had to leave office in 89, I said we should keep him around to do the inspirational things like Queen Elizabeth does.
Yeah.
Because he's good as a master of ceremonies over events. He always was very good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way he kind of shook his head like he knew the answers to everything. He was kind of inspirational. My wife hates him, but that's another story.
Well, he did a lot of negative things, but he also united the country. He's a very mixed story. And actually, I'm going to be doing a lecture on him for lifelong learning at Florida Atlantic University in Boca at the end of November. I have a PowerPoint, so I show both sides of Reagan. Everybody has two sides. Is that a president you can't find fault with? And it's not just their private life, it's their whole time in office. But again, when you lose re-election, that is a problem.
Okay.
It does not help your historical reputation.
Since you brought it up, what is the good side of Mr. Trump?
The good side of Mr. Trump, as my older son would say, is that he actually signed into law a couple of environmental laws, even though he's not an environmentalist, he's horrendous, but But he did sign a couple of bills into law. You know, he went along with that. And beyond that, he also, you know, did, of course, help to promote a rapid development of vaccinations. You know, it did start to come about right as he's leaving office. A couple of things like that. You know, also the agreement, the Abraham Accords, you know, where we had more Arab countries recognize Israel and have diplomatic relations. That was a good move. So there are a few things, but believe me, it's not anywhere near balanced.
Okay. Well, let's get right to it. A blockbuster hit the airwaves a couple days ago when we started listening to some of the things that were said by the Republicans during the riot, I guess we'll call it.
The January 6th insurrection, and after.
And then 2 to 3 weeks afterwards, how they changed. What do you think that revealed about the Republicans' true feelings, or did it?
It shows they don't care about democracy, and they only care about their own power and ambition. And Kevin McCarthy, I've said this before, he's very different from Joseph McCarthy, who he's not related to.
Yeah.
But I think Joseph McCarthy would be totally stunned to see the pro-Russian bent of so many of these Republicans that go along with Trump. And, you know, again, Joseph McCarthy is horrible with the Red Scare, but I'm saying Kevin McCarthy, who's not related to him, I think adds to the bad image of the name McCarthy. But then who helps make it look better? Eugene McCarthy, the senator from Minnesota who challenged Lyndon Johnson in 1968, you know, during the Vietnam War. So, you know, the point is there are three McCarthys that are well-known. The middle one, who's a Democrat, really is exceptional, and the two ends, Joe and Joseph and Kevin, are just horrible, and he should not be Speaker. And I'm writing today in a blog article, I haven't finished yet, he's not going to be the Speaker, I don't think. First of all, I don't think it's going to necessarily be a Republican House, but even if it is, unfortunately, it's in a way bad, we're going to get a worse person than him. One of these radical figures like Jim Jordan will probably end up as Speaker, and we will have to really worry about the whole survival of the Republic if he's two heartbeats away, because he's even worse than Kevin McCarthy.
Well, now, just last night, I heard that they have all sorts of, they have some things that are bad about the riots on Jim Jordan, though, so... I didn't hear it well.
Well, he's one of the people who incited, along with Madison Cawthorn and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Mo Brooks and Paul Gosar and others. And but whether they'll be prosecuted or be held accountable and not be able to be reelected or be denied the right to run, they're trying to do that with, you know, in Georgia with, you know, she testified and lied by saying she had no memory, no knowledge. That's so ridiculous. Talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't know what's going to be the result. The problem is the voters are so manipulated and deceived, and it scares me because they want to back people that are criminal elements, as far as I'm concerned, and that should not be so. But it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to keep control of the House, and I fear the thought of what's going to happen. We're probably going to have Hunter Biden investigated, although it seems like there's nothing there, as they say.
Yep.
And they're going to probably also investigate the Attorney General for bringing, you know, for getting involved in this. Probably go after Liz Cheney and others, you know, on the January 6th committee, including, you know, include the Democrats on the committee, Jamie Raskin and all that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a real bloodlust kind of thing, and it's going to make the whole American democracy teeter and totter, and I'm scared to death about it.
Well, it's going to be what it's going to be, unfortunately. I try not to get too worried about things that haven't happened yet, but it does kind of scare me to think that they would go after people like Raskin, who has proven his worth and his bravery. Holy cow. He has totally shown his bravery.
Yes, and there's so many others. It's just Adam Schiff and all the others.
Yes.
You know, there's so many of them. And, you know, the thing is, Kevin McCarthy has proved that he has absolutely no character at all, or as the word is, cojones, and that, yeah, I think you know what that means in English. I don't want to use the word. You know, he's a kind of a person who makes Paul Ryan and John Boehner, earlier speakers, look good. That's how bad things are.
Well, now, what do you think caused these texts? How did they get out?
I don't think we know yet. The book is going to come out next week, the New York Times report.
Yeah.
The two of them. I have no idea, but But these things happen. It's just like the Watergate tapes that brought down Richard Nixon 50 years ago. So people, you know, think that when they make phone calls that there's no record of it or there's no way for anybody to access it, but apparently there is.
Well, no, I think it was on the Rachel Maddow show last night.
God bless her, yes.
The question was, this similar question was asked, and she kind of, well, you know, it could have been anybody
staff of Kevin McCarthy, right?
Well, no, she started out working it back, saying it could have been anybody on the committee, it could have been anybody that knows Kevin McCarthy, and the last thing she said is it could have been somebody on the staff.
Somebody on what?
On his staff, on McCarthy's staff.
I have to tell you, it's the staff people, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to prove it, but yeah, I think that if people work for a member of Congress and they keep their mouth shut, but if they see something that really bothers them, especially after an event like the insurrection, that they probably are willing to give information against their own boss, yeah, I think so.
And then the other question is, if they were willing to give information about their own boss, were they paid? And if they were paid, then that kind of taints the water
there's no way to know at this point. I would tend to think I don't think they were paid. I tend to think that there are patriots, people who work for Republicans and close their eyes to a lot of things, and also some who work for Democrats and don't like what they see.
Yeah.
But if something goes over the edge, they're willing to speak up in the name of patriotism. So I like to think of it in a positive way.
And more power to those people that are brave enough to do that, because in most cases, they get kind of hung themselves. They get hung out to dry, at least. The people that are the, what do they call them?
Not sure what you mean.
The people that give out the information that they're supposed to hold secret.
Well, it's just like the people who, you know, who were involved in Ukrainian policy that were fired by Trump. You know, Vindman, Alexander Vindman, and also, Hill. I forgot the name of the lady. I forgot her name for the moment. The one that just came out with a book. These people were patriots, so they were fired, and now we're learning more about that whole thing. And it's clear to me that if Trump was still in office, Ukraine would not have U.S. backing. NATO, they would tell them to go to hell. I'm talking about Trump.
Yep.
And, you know, thank God we have Joe Biden in office.
Her name was Hill, by the way.
Fiona Hill, yes, right, Fiona Hill, yes.
And
Fiona Hill and Alexander Vindman, he's all over the place now.
Both of them were extremely brave, but they were also inspiring.
Yes.
That they had the, as you said, cojones.
Yes.
to say that.
It's funny how we can say cojones and nobody gets in front of you. You said it in English, people might be a little shocked.
I guess. Yeah, they might. Well, why did it take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks for so many of the Republicans who had jumped out and said, "President, you've got to stop this going on," and then 2 to 4 weeks later, they all said, "Well, I really didn't mean that," or "I didn't say that."
Because they want their jobs, and they can see the mob that's still there, about 30-35% of the country, that would back Trump and would have no problem with Nazism or fascism, or even as they're calling it now, authoritarian socialism, like Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida.
Is that what
they don't care? Because all they care about is their group, and they want to keep control, and if that means putting women down and racial minorities down and Jews down and liberals down and the news media down, they don't care. This is an authoritarian element that is the kind of thing that could lead to a fascist Italy, Nazi Germany kind of situation, and they're very dangerous.
Do you see differences, though, between the Hitler thing and the Trump thing?
Because, you know, Trump, of course, you know, had kids separated from their parents at the border, which is outrageous, and, you know, put them in cages. But, you know, I just think that if he had a second term, he'd be unbridled, and you'd have a Congress, assuming it's Republican, that would be going along with him. And I would not be surprised if we could have, you know, concentration camps. I really think we could.
Do you think that Trump is as smart as Hitler was?
No, but I think that there are others in the party who are going to combat him, like Ron DeSantis really scares me to death. He really does. He's totally out of control. He's authoritarian, going to war against Disney now, and the man is off the wall, and he's unstoppable at the moment. I'm hoping, but it's going to be hard for Charlie Crist or Nikki Fried or Annette Tadeo, the three potential Democrats. More likely, Charlie Crist will be able to defeat him, but it's going to be hard. But the man is really horrendous. I mean, he reminds me in a way of George Wallace, but I would prefer George Wallace, because even George Wallace saw his shortcomings and apologized. This man will never apologize. He's grabbing for power, and he will let Trump stop him. He'll fight Trump. I don't know if he'll be nominated, but I think he's not going to let, if Trump decides to run, that he's not going to run. He is ambitious, and he wants to be president, and he wants to have an authoritarian situation, because Florida's become an authoritarian state now.
Now, are you starting to feel things down there in Florida that are authoritarian
passed a law that says, and it doesn't affect me because I'm retired, thank God, and I'm at the end of my career, I'm just teaching part-time, but people who have tenure no longer will have tenure. In other words, if you have tenure, you got it whenever you got it. No longer, in 5 years, you will be reviewed, and you might lose your tenure, and no more new tenure. They're not going to get anybody decent who's a young scholar to come to Florida to work at the public universities. And they're going to try to end tenure, which is a lifetime contract. They can't do that. There'll be lawsuits like crazy, just like with the Disney case. And I don't think all this is going to be upheld that he's done, but he is out of control. He also has an election police. What is this, Nazi Germany? You have to have people who are election police to check for any corruption. There's no corruption in Florida. They even said there was none in the 2020 election. This man is a menace. I'm sorry I'm so upset, but it's just unbelievable. And if it was maybe in some small state where there weren't many people, maybe I wouldn't be as concerned. But this is the third largest state, and it's just horrendous what he's doing. Meanwhile, meanwhile, house prices are skyrocketing. There's so much trouble with the economy down here, and he's doing nothing about it.
Yeah, it's, they're doing something about it. They're blaming it on Biden.
Yeah, but blaming it on Biden and trying to attack the idea about race and gender, and all that, it's just ridiculous. It really is.
Now, one of the things that really surprised me about your governor...
Not my governor!
Well, he's blaming everything, all this stuff. He's blaming Disney for a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
Now, whatever happened to the Republican Party that was pro-business? Disney, if nothing else, they are business. and then they're all claiming they need their freedom. Well, they're not giving Disney their freedom.
Freedom from teachers. Like teachers at the high school, middle and elementary level, they can't mention race or sex in any way.
Yeah, where's their freedom?
If I was a teacher, I'd quit. I don't think anybody can survive this because you're going to be fired because parents can now report you and get you in trouble. Parents should not have to say on curriculum. Most of them have no knowledge of any subject, like math now. They have math textbooks they're interfering with and saying they're banning many math textbooks. Why? Maybe because there's a problem that mentions someone who's black in the problem or something, or someone who maybe is gay. This whole thing is so ridiculous. It really is.
They're blaming critical race theory on this, and nobody knows what the hell critical race theory is.
Nobody uses it. It's a graduate course. And honestly, what he's saying is there's been no racism in El Paso, is what our governor is saying. And that's not correct. Leave aside black Americans. How about Native Americans? What about Chinese and Japanese and the way they've been treated, or Hispanics? How can you say this has never happened? It's ridiculous, and you can't lie in history, especially if you're teaching history, social studies, as we call it. But imagine in math now, they're banning certain books. They're trying to have libraries, take down certain books or not allow them or not. It's totally ridiculous, and this is like censorship to the extreme. And to me, it's fascism. But actually, some people call it authoritarian socialism because he's trying to control everything. Whatever you want to call it, the man is a menace, and he needs to be, frankly, prosecuted, incarcerated, because he's a danger to the state, and if he ever becomes president, my gosh,
is there,
smarter than Trump. That makes him more dangerous.
Yeah, it does make him more dangerous. Is there anything that people are doing in Florida to...
Lawsuits have started, but that takes time. But the lawsuits hopefully will prevent a lot of these things from occurring. Another thing, the state university system now, you have to, you have to upload your syllabus for the full term by June. Now, I have no problem. I can do that easily. But whoever thinks in June or May of doing something that's in August and September, because apparently the state wants to have the access to be able to see what is in your syllabus.
You're kidding.
Trying to control what's in the syllabi of college professors.
Oh, my.
Now, I have nothing to hide in it, but I'll be honest, in class, I talk about the racism of Woodrow Wilson. I don't decide I'm not going to mention it. I talk about the civil liberties violations under Wilson and John Adams. I mean, I say things you could call negative, but I also say positive about both of them.
Yep.
And I'm just using those two examples, as many others. But, I mean, it's just... They're trying to promote that you only can teach goody-goody stuff, and that's not even in math. I don't know what they're talking about in math. It makes no sense. So in English Lit, where they're going to say you can't have certain novels or plays because it might talk too much about race or sexuality or something, but that's literature. You can't deny that.
This is going back to the 1950s where everything is white and beautiful.
And they want to have it that everybody who's not a white Christian, basically, has no rights. That's what they would like to do, including women. My God, women have too much freedom because they have an education now, and they don't all stay home and cook meals and be in the bedroom only, you know, that old mentality. And that's not going to be possible. The country's becoming much more diverse. And the white majority is rapidly disappearing, and I don't see it as a problem. There's no such thing. People live and they coexist, but this is what these right-wing Republicans are trying to do, and that's why they're taking away two House seats. DeSantis took away from blacks. They changed the district line so that two black seats, mostly likely to elect blacks, now will not elect blacks. So there's only two seats in the state out of 28 that are going to be likely to have a black congressman than there were four, and that's not right either.
Did you happen to see Ossoff
of Georgia?
Did you happen to see his interview with, I think it was Rachel last night?
No, actually I didn't. What did he have to say?
He was phenomenal. He was so measured. Now, he didn't answer her questions. He basically gave his political answers to everything, which was a little disappointing, but he showed how truly intelligent the gentleman is.
This Jewish senator from the South,
and he's
outside of Florida.
And he's doing quite well. It won't be as close as it was when he won it the first time.
Actually, he doesn't have to run until 26.
No, he doesn't, but he's
the
actually...
The other seat, Raphael Warnock, the Reverend, does have to run, and he's got Herschel Walker, who's also black, but is a former football player and a real liar and basically a horrible individual.
He just sounds angry.
And that's who Trump backs. I hope that Warnock keeps that seat, yeah.
Well, now Ossoff says he is working for Warnock.
Oh, of course.
And, but the, talking about Herschel Walker, when he's interviewed, he is embarrassing. He's so...
Well, the same with Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, who's who I think is more of a fake doctor. Dr. Oz had a TV show. He comes horrendously. And so does J.D. Vance in Ohio, who Trump came out to promote. But actually, Josh Mandel, one of the alternatives, is no better.
Yeah, and no, he isn't any better at all.
So Tim Ryan, everybody in Ohio, please.
Well, Tim, by far, would be the... In my opinion, the best choice there.
Yes, but, may not be as inspirational as some. Not everybody is, but he's a good man. He's had a good career in the House, and Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And he's an honest, straight shooter.
Yes.
And he won't lie to you. He may, I don't know, he may not be as inspirational as some, but he is a good man.
And, yes.
I like him quite a bit, actually. All right, let's get...
You warmed up to him, because Richie said he wants to impress.
Yeah, and I wasn't impressed when he and I have talked a couple of times, and I wasn't impressed with our discussions, but then he was in meetings where there were people all around us. Maybe he was being a little bit more guarded than normal.
Yeah, well, of course,
And so...
I assume if I'd been the congressman, you met me, you would have liked me from day one, right?
Yeah. All right, let's
I
get on.
I agree with that?
Yeah, well, I'm just ignoring you.
You can't give me a plug. Ron Feynman for the governor of Ohio. Imagine that.
I would rather see you run running for the governor of Florida. How's that?
Yeah, actually, that's true.
And you're a lot smart. Well, you won't have the degree that he has. Doesn't he have a degree from Harvard or Yale or something?
He went to Harvard and Yale, yeah.
Yeah. And, but I think you can buy those degrees.
Well, Harvard and Yale, I mean, we have a number of Republicans who are Harvard and Yale graduates like Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And they may have the education, but they're monstrous, horrible human beings. That's the thing.
I wish you said
like a degree, you know.
All right, let's get on to the next big blockbuster in this in the tale of what's going on this week is Elon Musk owns the
Twitter
outright. Now.
Well, it's talking. He's going to start charging a fee. If he charges a fee, I'm not going to be on Twitter anymore. I'm not paying for it.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to get off Twitter. Period. Whether he charges or not.
Well, it depends on what he does. Otherwise, as long as he's not charging us, he doesn't need to charge. And honestly, it should be antitrust action. He has too much power. These billionaires have too much power, more than any of the people when they were multimillionaires like Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Morgan 100 or more years ago. These people are out of control, and it's just not right. It should not be allowed.
What has happened to our antitrust laws?
Well, the Republicans never use it. Democrats try to use it, have, but unfortunately, a lot of the times the Republican Party has stood in the way, you know, and even now, if they wanted to do anything, you know, it would be hard because we have a 50-50 Senate, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Musk is a monster, you know, he's much too powerful, and he needs to be tamed, but I guess he's not going to be able to be, but I would stay on Twitter for now, but I'm not going to stay on if it costs any fees, no.
Well,
I'm also thinking of getting off Facebook, because I don't like how they interfere and say, you know, stop you from saying certain things or you know, correct you. They should not be censoring, you know, the way they do.
Well, that's kind of what Elon Musk wants. No censorship at all.
So he says, we'll see. Well, we'll see. If it's free, maybe, but I don't like the idea that somebody could just buy something for, what, $43
billion? $44
billion. Cash? That's crazy, you know?
Well, now, whatever happened to the rule about the censorship in a theater and not screaming fire in a theater? I mean, is that still... You know,
well, you know, we have a Supreme Court now that's turning everything inside out and upside down, and I'm fearful what's going to happen at the end of June with all these Supreme Court decisions coming up. It's really scary, including this one about a coach, you know, promoting religion at the end of the football game.
Yeah.
It's becoming a big controversy.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that.
I commented on it on LinkedIn, and somebody attacked me, and I wrote back and said, you know, and this person obviously doesn't have much knowledge, and I said, you realize that you're dealing with somebody who has a PhD, has had 50 years of teaching, has published 2 books, and a little bit more about the Bill of Rights than you do.
Yeah,
he hasn't answered me yet, but I can imagine what he'll say.
Well, now, it's kind of interesting. I played high school and college football and ran track and did different athletic things, both at the high school and college level. I had several coaches that would, you know, call for a prayer at the end of practice or call for a prayer at the end of a game. I always thought, I was very, very involved in being a Christian at the time.
Yeah.
Because I was a Methodist minister's son, but I always
felt... Not everybody is, and that's why...
Yeah.
The Supreme Court in 62 said no prayer in public schools. 1962 case, 60 years ago. And again, you can do it privately, but it's not something that you should do for people who don't believe in Christianity, or Muslims, or Jews, or just non-believers. You know, and to me, it's forcing people to do it because of the power of a coach.
Yeah. Now,
that's what bothers me.
Now, that bothered me, too. Now, I was, like I said, I was a pretty devout Methodist Christian during those years, but I was always uncomfortable with because the coach would say you have to hold hands or you have to do it this way, take a knee to pray. I always believed, my father told me you can pray in a closet,
yes,
and you don't have any requirements.
And when you're 15 and 16 and 17, you can tend to feel pressure from
the
coach.
Yes, you do.
You want to work for, you want to be on the team, so you just have to obey him.
Yep.
But it should not be an authoritarian thing where you have to follow his rules other than on the game itself, you know.
I know when I played college football, Coach Tony Hinkle was my coach, and he didn't require that, and I was so relieved that I didn't have to take a knee at the end of a game or at the end of a practice, you know. Tony Hinkle is a legend anyway, so, but that also made me like him a lot more. But
he never, he never called for prayer at the end, right?
And there was never any relationship to any sort of deity. Nowadays, if you watch a baseball game and a kid hits a home run, they cross themselves, they touch their forehead, they point to the sky. You know, that's all just crap that they've seen other people do.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with any religion.
Yeah, well, we have separation of church and state. That's what I wrote on LinkedIn. And separation of church and state means you don't have religion in public places.
Yeah.
Other than, like, you go to a church or a synagogue or a mosque. But, you know, but these people want to pressure kids, you know, to do what they want them to do. And I don't think it's right, you know.
My daughter played college soccer, and they used to have to play against Cedarville, which is a very Christian college, and they always came over, the girls would come over and ask my daughter and her teammates if they'd like to pray with them before the game. And
what did your daughter say?
No, they didn't do it. So, but
and how did they react, the other team? Did they get nasty, or they just...
No, they, you know, did that saccharine smile that all Christians do when they're trying to tell you it, with their smile, that you're non-Christian.
You're going to hell.
You're going to hell. I don't know why. That's the most obnoxious thing in the world, is when a supposed Christian talks to you about Christ and then gives you that smile. If I tell them I'm an atheist, I always get that smile. Like,
oh my God, you're going to the devil.
Yeah, you're
going
to hell. And I'll guarantee you, I'm a better Christian than most Christians.
Yes, and I'm a better Christian or Jew than all those that go to church and synagogue all the time.
I'm sure you are.
It's the way you treat people that matters, not how devout you are to going to services.
Well, that's kind of what Christ said, but so many people have forgotten what Christ said and just make up whatever they want.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan's son is an atheist, and he always says those commercials in which he says, you know, promote the idea of separation of church and state, and he said he's not worried about going to hell.
Yeah,
smile.
I love it.
You have to see those?
I turn that up every time it comes on.
You know, what's interesting is, I guess he looks like his mother. He really doesn't look like Ronald Reagan at all.
No, he doesn't look like, no, he absolutely
doesn't. I guess he looks like Nancy. I don't know. It's like he doesn't really resemble his father in appearance, you know.
He does not.
But I love when he does that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. I'm looking. Did politics change the Americans' response to COVID?
Of course.
Yeah.
Was it the election coming up? And Dr. Birx just came out with a new book.
That's why I asked that
Deborah
question.
Birx, and she was someone I found hard to take because she didn't, in my mind, speak up. But I guess if you're in that position, you can't really speak up publicly against the president right in his presence or while you're working for him. It's an awkward situation. But you can see how uncomfortable she was when he started to talk about hydroxychloroquine that he thought it would work. And you can see how horrified look. But she didn't know what to really say. Some people have really been critical of her since, saying that she didn't do the job of speaking up loudly. But neither did Dr. Fauci. They were both a little, you know, intimidated by the President of the United States. But interestingly, I think she wrote in her book, I read, that she was very happy the way Mike Pence dealt with her. So I think Mike Pence, if he had been president, he would have done it differently than Donald Trump did. But again, he was intimidated by his boss. But at the end, he was not intimidated, and I give him credit for that, although I don't like the guy. I do think Vice President Pence did the right thing for history on January 6th when he refused to get into that car. Somebody wanted to take him away, and then maybe if someone else take over the proceedings for the electoral vote. And also, he was courageous at a time when he was under threat by Donald Trump directly.
Well, now,
people cannot see that and therefore condemn Trump forever. I don't know.
Now, it's kind of interesting. The question was asked last night on the Talking Heads. Let's see. What was the guy's name that he went and asked about it? Your former vice president.
Mike Pence, you mean?
No. Yeah. Who? Pence went and talked to a former vice president on what he should do.
To Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle, yes. He asked him, not somebody that
he's
really...
He's Bush's vice president. I wouldn't think I'd go to Dan Quayle for advice, but
well, yeah,
it's, Dan Quayle was good.
Yes, apparently he gave him the right answer, but Dan Quayle, I don't think, is a constitutional lawyer, is he? He may be a lawyer.
I don't think he's too smart, personally. You know, he was scary as vice president for 4 years.
He was, yes, he was indeed.
Another Indiana vice president, by the way. There's been seven of them.
But if you were terribly concerned about what really to do, why would you pick Dan Quayle when you've got dozens of really brilliant other...
Well, because Dan Quayle was from Indiana. He knew him over the years,
yeah,
I guess.
Yes,
probably
well.
Good friends.
Okay.
Although he's quite a bit younger. He's about 10, 12 years younger.
I
don't know why, but I have to say Dan Quayle will look better in history because he spoke up and
helped
to make sure Pence did the right thing, and Pence did follow him, and he's been condemned by Trump, and now he's starting to run for president, I wrote this week. He's
right?
In Iowa, and meanwhile, Trump was in Ohio. I think there's going to be fireworks because if Trump announces, I think Pence will also announce, but I don't think he'll be nominated, but it's going to be interesting fireworks between the two of them, and also Ron DeSantis, and also Texas Governor Greg Abbott, and Josh Hawley, and Ted Cruz, and oh my God, all these people. You know, it's going to be fun to watch, and I hope they all self-destruct. You know, I wish there could be someone like an Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney, or even Mitt Romney, but it's probably can't happen.
Yeah. Now, it is kind of interesting. You mentioned that Dr. Birx is coming out with a book.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that you really thought that Fauci kind of went along the same lines. But I think he was more intellectually honest than she was. She kind of...
She was more intimidated. Yeah, I think he came across in public less intimidated.
Yeah.
But basically, he saw, like it's implied since, that it was very difficult working under Trump. He prefers working under Biden because...
Yeah, he was very clear about that, yes.
It's just that in public, he had a better persona, I guess. Well, she seemed really quite scared, and I think it was shown, and people have condemned her for it, but it was a tough position she was in.
Yeah.
Politics and medicine should not mix. But then we have a lot of intelligent people who said they didn't believe in masks, didn't believe in vaccinations, didn't believe in anything. And I still can't get how they could think that when we have a million people have died from this. I don't know. But, you know, you and I both know people like that, and I still can't believe them. But also we have people who voted for Trump a second time.
Yes.
After voting, first time you can make that mistake. We also have people who voted for Clinton and then voted for him, and I don't understand the mental state of people like that.
I don't either. Well, Dr. Birx did mention one thing that I thought was kind of interesting. She mentioned, now I've lost my train of thought here.
Oh, no.
Let's go on anyway. Should NATO countries be sending their high-ranking people into Ukraine? I'm afraid for them every time they do that.
I'm worried, but it's an important symbol. So we had our Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State go there. There was some discussion of having Biden or Harris go there. That I'm not so sure about because they are the top people. I think what I might suggest, how you like this, I would send Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene and not give them a return trip.
Or send them to the eastern side of Ukraine.
Yes.
Don't give them a helmet.
I sound evil, don't I?
Well, that's two of us.
Just kidding.
All right. So
So I think it made sense to send the top cabinet members, yes. Okay. And in this case, look, we had a number of foreign leaders who went together from Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, and Poland. That was gutsy.
Yeah.
But Ukraine's doing quite well. I mean, of course, they're having horrendous losses and, you know, and mass loss of life and all that. But the fact is, Russia has been held up. They've not been able to accomplish what they wanted to.
Well, now, the last question that I had in my little ad for our show today was about why do you think that Trump came to Ohio? Was it just to support J.D. Vance? I don't think so. I think he was making an announcement that he's starting his campaign for 2024.
Well, he's keeping it alive because people send money and he can use the money the way he wants. It's a great scam. Mm-hmm. I still am not sure he will run. A lot will depend on what happens to his endorsed candidates in the midterm election. If they do poorly, and I think a number of them will, like I think Herschel Walker will lose. I think J.D. Vance, a good chance, or maybe might not even be nominated. It might be Josh Mandel, my God, or someone else, and also Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania and other cases. If he loses a lot of those, he may not run because he'll see that his choices have been repudiated. So I think it still depends on what happens in November. But meanwhile, he gets people or suckers to send money, and he can do whatever he wants for it, and he's got lawsuits he has to deal with and all that. So why would he stop? But if he runs, he's not going to have everybody else sit on the sidelines. I'm sure all these people, particularly our dictator governor in Florida, to Satan, as we call him here, not DeSantis, will still be running, unless he loses his re-election.
And I think you need to get out and get active in your campaign against that man.
Well, absolutely. And also, I also want to see Marco Rubio, the senator, defeated, but he's less of a threat.
Yeah.
Horrible, but the governor is more important, yes. You know, as far as to somehow make sure he doesn't get reelected yet.
He has made some really outstanding, and I don't mean good, outstanding decisions. I feel sorry for you, and I also feel sorry for your kids down there in Florida.
Yeah, well, I want to point out before we go, we only have a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
The French presidential election, oh my God, thank God, Emmanuel Macron won for Marine Le Pen. It was very scary. I wrote about it on the weekend before the results.
He won rather soundly, though, didn't he?
Yes, 57 or 58%. Now, that's not as much as he did 5 years ago with 66%. But if you anything over 55, it's a landslide.
Yeah.
So 58% is a landslide, just not 66%. But thank God that, you know, because, and that's why Trump is a Putin lover. It's the wrong person. Anybody that goes along with him should also be seen as a threat to the country if they sort of overlook what Putin has done. And look at Rand Paul, for instance. Oh, my God. Rand Paul say, well, this is all part of the old Soviet Union. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't mean he has a right to go take it back. Rand Paul is a monster. I mean, I'm sorry I use that language too much, but I would like to use another word starting with D, but because of Scott, I don't.
Well, you know, Rand Paul actually said these nations were all nations of Russia, and then had to correct it and say the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and then, of course, he could also argue, I guess, Rand Paul, what about all the Eastern European countries under the Soviet bloc until 1989? So he wants to take back Poland and Hungary and Bulgaria?
Yeah.
I mean, this man and his father was still around Rand Paul. They are scary people, these so-called libertarians, but they're nuts. They really are.
We have a lot of scary people in politics right now.
Yes, unfortunately. Anyway, we're down to the last minute. I had a good time again. I look forward to next week.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it. And
thanks so much.
You have a wonderful week, okay?
Yes, you too.
Love you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, you know, that's kind of strange. Dr. Feynman, I say I love you to my kids, and for some reason or other, it just popped out. I hope you all have a great day, and thanks for listening. You've been listening to A Progressive Life.
You're listening to WWGA.